The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple on demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
If you have any knowledge of America, you've probably heard this sentence. It's in your Declaration of Independence. People can repeat it. It's one of the most repeated lines probably from the Declaration of Independence. They don't know the start, but they know these truths. You know, they know this line. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everyone loves to quote that line. Everyone loves to take that line and you know, then some people actually talk about principles and liberty and freedom, and other people use that line to go, well, you know, government should do this. They're entitled to certain things. But if you understand history and you know history, you will understand that's the writing of, well, I don't know what you'd call it, but the second Declaration of Independence. That was not the original writing, and there was one word changed in it, and I'm going to talk to you about it today. Because the original writing of your Declaration of Independence was not life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The original writing was life, liberty, and property. And I want to talk to you about this issue right now. And because I want to bring it in to what we just discussed in the last segment of who controls your labor. But before we can do that, and why this idea was a revolutionary idea, to show you how great your founding fathers were, to show you how smart they were, why this word, the word they put in their property, what they meant by it, changed America. And then I'm also going to dispel a rumor that they were all just evil slave owners and they didn't care about the slave issue. There's a reason they changed it. If you understand the reason they changed it, anyone who says your founders were just slave owners and they didn't care about the issue of slavery, just talk to him about this story, but we'll get to that in a minute. Your founding fathers were so great and so wonderful. They were so educated. They were so well read. But when they were writing things and they were writing the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, they looked around the rest of the world and did their research. They read about England. They read about the king. They read about ancient Rome. They read the different ideologies. One of the differences between America, traditionally, and the idea of America and everywhere else is this idea you have a right to property. But before we understand, get to that, we have to make a definition of what property is. What do you think property is? Because today, I've asked people this question, and every answer usually contains a lot of similarities. But it's because of the world we live in that we don't go deeper. So every person I've asked, with the exception of maybe one or two, have all focused on, when I say, what is a definition of property? They all focus on material things. And even when I share in the context of the Declaration of Independence, they all focus in on material things. So what do people say property is? Well, whatever's yours. You know, your house. Yeah, that's property. You have a right to your house. Yep. The land around it, if you buy land, yep, you have a right to that property. If you, you know, have extra land, you want to like graze, or you want to grow fruit and vegetables, or you want to, you know, have animals, you know, cows and buffalo and pigs, you have that right to land. Yep, absolutely. You have a right to your property, your car. I have a right to this microphone. I paid for it. I have a right to my computer. Absolutely. I have a right to my bed. I bought it with my own money. Mm-hmm. Does it go anywhere deeper? Well, I have a right to the money I earn. You know, I have the right to keep the fruits of my labor. If I say to someone, I'm going to do a job for you and they're going to pay me $1,000, and they pay me $1,000, I have a right to that $1,000 because I have earned it. It is my property. Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. Every answer among those lines is right. But to get to the mindset of why the word property is so key and what made America different as the idea to the rest of the world was, you have a right to your intellectual property. Your intellectual property, your thoughts, your ideas, your innovations, very essence of your emotions, what makes you you, is also your property. How did this change the world? Because we said to people, what's in your brain is also yours. It cannot be stolen. You can protect it. So if you have this great idea where you're going to, you know, come up with this, you know, revolutionary thing that's going to change technology, or is going to make, you know, processing power, you know, quicker or smaller or more cheaper, if you're going to come up with this innovation of driverless cars or AI or whatever it is, you have a right to that. It is your intellectual property. One of the laws, because people will say, well, you always sound like an anarchist when you talk at times. One of the greatest laws that changed the way the world works is the law of patents. You can protect your idea. Why was this so revolutionary back then? Why was this so important back then? Well, why it was so important was, back before America was founded, usually one of two things happened, and it was more common for one to happen. So let's say you're a poor person, you're living in the example of the life you're living now, or maybe slightly poorer, and you know, you don't obviously don't have the fancy job you have now. You know, you might be a, you know, worker in the shop, in the grocery store, or you might be working the lands for a farmer, and you all of a sudden, just through a dream one day, or through thinking, or through reading, you have this wonderful idea. You know, I have this new idea if you change the angle of the blade, it will cut better. Just something simple. What happened was, usually your idea was taken by the king, and the king profited from it. And because the king was, you know, such a benevolent king, because he cared for his subjects so deeply, and he was just for you, he'd probably hire you to do the work and then pay you a wage. But he got the profits. The king got them. In some, that was the more popular one. In some cases, what you had was, you had the rich person come and go, I'll take your idea and I'll profit from it. Or I'll copy your idea because I've seen you've had a little bit of success and I'll mass market it. But it is mine now. I own it. And I have all this money to stop you. I have something you don't. I have money. I have wealth. I have position. I have stature in society. You can't compete with me. And usually they went working for them. They got a wage, and they, even though it was their idea, all they got was a wage. But the rich person or the king reaped the fruits of their labor. Law of patents stopped that. Said, I own it. It's my idea. You can't copy it. You can pay me for it, but it's my idea. I have a right to own that property. You're also there with your ideas, with your thoughts. They are fundamentally yours. They make you you. You have a right to them. Even if they're wrong, you have a right to them. Because the ultimate aim, if you read the Declaration of Independence, is the understanding that everything they said and your founder said was, you control you. You control you, your thoughts, your ideas, and your innovations. And you also have the right to the fruits of your labor and to pursue your own happiness, your own course in life. But today, we don't control our own property. We can't negotiate our own contract. We can't, you know, have a relationship with our employer because it has to meet certain standards. We can't sit down with our employer and go, let's just talk about our contract now. And you want certain things and I want certain things. A lot of it's rewritten, pre-written for you because it has to apply to government statutes. You look at what we have in society today. If you want an innovation, the first thing you have to do is it compliant with regulations? You have a right to pursue your happiness and to have a right to your property. It is an inalienable right. You have that right. It's what makes you you. But today we don't respect that right. We don't promote that right. We seek to change people. We seek to, you know, mold them the way we think society should be molded. Now, for those out there who've ever heard the line that, well, you know, the founders were just a bunch of slave owners. I've tried my best in the last couple of minutes to explain why property was so important. What made it changed America? And by the way, just on a side point, if you think what I just said is the biggest bunch of baloney, prove me wrong. Let's take an arbitrary point in time. Let's not talk about principles. Let's talk about results, about outcomes. Take an arbitrary point in time, which everyone today thinks it's 2018. Zero AD. Think of the advancements we had from zero AD to 1800 AD. That's 1800 years. And now think of the advancements we've had from 1800 AD to 2018. We've seen more advancement in the last 218 years than the prior 1800. And I could go back further if I wanted to. But let's just take a point in time, which is easy. The results are incredible. You look at the advancement. Take any part of society that you wish and say, which is not better off than we were 200 years ago? Which has not seen multiple amounts of increases and betterment of that sector than they saw in the first 1800 years? Take travel. Travel from zero AD to 1800 didn't change too much. Horse, oxen cart, boat. Now you can fly. Now certain people can get in a spaceship and go to the moon. Go to the space station. Why? Well, we'll get to that in a second. Think of food. Food and diets didn't change for the first 1800 years. You went what was probably within a 2 mile radius of you, or maybe 5, 10 max. Now you can get, you know, I got a pack of grapes this morning. It was from Somalia. I think it was from Somalia. Some African country. Africa. I live in Ireland. I can get Spanish ham. I can get Mexican tacos. I can get Russian vodka. I'm in Ireland. Think of medicine. Think of medicine from the first zero AD to 1800. Now think of medicine today. We're curing all types of diseases with an injection. You see all these people who suffer from different diseases. We're curing them. Look at the big crisis, I think it was last year, Ebola. It was like, oh my God, Ebola's going to rip out, it's going to just kill half the population of the world, and it's going to have major impacts. And now it killed a certain amount of people, I think it was a couple of hundred, and that's tragic and it's very sad, but it was cured and solved very quickly. Why? Medication. That's how much our society has changed. Communication. For the first 800 years, how did people communicate with each other? Heck, let's forget about communication. Think for the last 1800 years, what was the furthest person away they knew? Was it 5 miles? Was it 10 miles? Was it maybe a person that they, you know, they left from a different state? Now you just travel through countries. It's everyone's been to America. Everyone's been to England. Everyone's been to Europe. So many people travel. So many people have communications with people so many thousands of miles away. It's so easy. I go onto Facebook and communicate with you all. Go onto Twitter, communicate with you all. Our lives have changed from the last 218 years so much more than they did for the prior 1800. Why? There are many reasons for that, but a large part of that is because you said you have a right to keep your own property. You have a right, not from me, not from God, government, not from a state, but from God, to keep your property, to follow your happiness, and to keep the fruits of your labor. All of a sudden, people had this idea of, well, I can have a better tomorrow for me and for the world. I'm going to create something, and it's going to benefit everyone. Take how important that word of property is. But John, why don't I read it in the Declaration of Independence today? Why is this so few people know that was in there originally? Well, if you've ever heard the founders were slaveholders and they didn't care about the issue of slavery, you'd be wrong. You'd be dead wrong. Because the reason they changed it was because back in 1776, what was the other thing you could class as property? We've talked about cars, we've talked about property, we've talked about land, we've talked about houses, we've talked about beds, we've talked about computers, we've talked about our thoughts, our ideas, our innovations. Back in 1776, what was also considered property? A slave, a fellow human being. They knew if they put in life, liberty, and property in the Declaration of Independence, the slavery issue might never have been solved. Because people would always point to it saying, it's in our founding documents. We have a right to property. I think that person is my property. You can't take it because by your words, I have a God-given right to it. That is why they changed it. They understood that putting property in there, as key as it was to helping America, the idea become, they knew there would be people who would use their own words against them. That forever in history, they'd be known as the people who didn't care about slavery, who only just thought about property. But they changed it to the pursuit of happiness. Why? Because everyone, regardless of your upbringing, whether you're a peasant, whether you're a slave, whether you're a rich person, whether you're a poor person, has a God-given right to pursue your happiness and to be free. That is why the first two words before pursuit of happiness is you have a right to life and you have a right to liberty. You have a right to pursue your happiness regardless of where you are brought from. It is these words that laid the foundation for the Constitution, for the Bill of Rights. Because the Bill of Rights is not about rich people. It's not rich people have these rights. It's not white people who have all these rights. It's not straight people who have all these rights. It is all people have these rights, regardless of where you come from. And they're not from me. They're not from George Washington. They're not from Thomas Jefferson. They're not from John Adams. They're not from James Madison. They're not from the president. They're not from the White House. They're not from the Supreme Court. They are from your creator. They are for everyone. Everyone has these rights. Heck, they're not even American rights. They are human rights. They didn't say all Americans are created equal and all Americans have a right to free speech. They said all men are created equal. That is why you have to understand that context. The founders understood the times they lived in and they understood that slavery was a blight, not on America, not on England, not on Europe, on the world's history. And what's so tragic is so many people today, on a personal level, love to talk about American slavery and love to dismiss and demean America. Well, you know, the founders were only a bunch of slave owners and we all know slavery is wrong. Yet they are silent today when there are 2 million people who are under the age of 18 who live in sex slavery and they say nothing. Slavery is not an American problem. It is not a British problem. It is not a European problem. It is a world human problem. And how sad is it that we're so more advanced in society? We have all this technology. And yet today, we still cannot say there is no slavery in our world. Please tell me how that is fair. How that is right. But yet we look back 150 years ago or 250 years ago, well, the founders were just slave owners. Your founders were incredible men. There is a rewriting of history happening right now. You know this. If you understand why the original writing was property, I tried my best to lay it out for you. And then you understand why they changed it. It is crystal clear. It should be crystal clear to this court of why the founders were more than just slave owners. They understood and they laid the foundation. Could they fix it? No. Is that a tragedy for the people who lived and who were slaves back in the 1700s? Absolutely. But they laid a foundation stone which Lincoln himself said there would not be a civil war and we would not have fixed the issue of slavery if it were not for the founding fathers and their words. They laid the foundation to remove it. And then you fought a civil war, which we'll talk about down the road. We'll talk about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, because there's a lot of people have different issues and opinions on that. But they fought for the pursuit of happiness. That is who your founders are. Let us never forget the real men, the real women, the real heroes who fought for those ideas. Because they are not American ideas. They are world ideas. Thank you, and hope you enjoyed this short clip from last week's show. If you want more content based around America being an exceptional idea, eternal principles, and searching for self-evident truths, then please subscribe to my show called Freedom's Disciple, which is available for free on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher.
Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn on demand.
The Blaze Radio Network.